Here on Issues and Ideas, we've often talked about school choice in New Jersey and the many options presented to parents. One of those options is, of course, homeschooling. Most recent reports reveal that over 90,000 New Jersey children are now being homeschooled. That's about the size of a sizable school, isn't it, on its own? One of the main reasons parents have chosen homeschooling for their kids is because the state of New Jersey and local school systems have had very little oversight over this education process. That may change if pending legislation in Trenton becomes law. Joining us to examine these bills and what they will mandate is senior counsel with the Homeschool Legal Defense Association, Will Estrada. Thanks for being here today, Will.
It's a privilege to be on. Thank you for having me.
Website for the Homeschool Legal Defense Association is hslda.org, and we do have that link over at our homepage. Before we get into legislation, Will, by and large, what are the requirements for parents who choose to homeschool their kids in New Jersey? How much oversight is there? To what degree are there any mandates?
So the law in New Jersey is very clear. Families have the constitutional fundamental right to direct the education and upbringing of their children, to educate their children at home, and they do not need to get permission or even notify the government in order to exercise those rights. Now, having said that, there are some requirements. They do have to make sure that they are educating their children. They do have to make sure that they're teaching the same subjects that generally would be taught in public and private schools. Of course, New Jersey, like all states, has educational neglect laws and compulsory attendance laws, so parents need to make sure that they are providing an education to their children in those required subjects. But once they are doing that, then that is about it. They do not need to notify the school districts. They do not need to have their children come and appear before school district officials. You know, we believe that this is a fundamental, even God-given right, as our founders would have said. It's been protected by the U.S. Supreme Court for 102 years. The first case was Meyer versus Nebraska, establishing parental rights. And then 100 years ago, we're celebrating the centennial this year, Pierce versus Society of Sisters. And New Jersey laws are well within step of other states. There are 12 states, like New Jersey is one of them, where you do not need to check in with the government in order to homeschool your children.
Now, this isn't to say that parents are left in a wild west of education. Doing background for this segment, if you do a Google search of New Jersey homeschooling, you will get a list of, by and large, legitimate groups, organizations, companies, which provides materials, lesson plan outlines, concepts, really everything a parent needs to have an organized education process in their own home.
Well, that is absolutely correct. And just like there is a legal requirement that you be actually teaching your children, giving them a quality education, teaching the same subjects they would get in a traditional brick-and-mortar public school or private school, there are many, many resources that have come alongside homeschooling. So I was homeschooled in the Commonwealth of Pennsylvania, so just a little bit to the west of New Jersey. And when I was being homeschooled in the 80s and 90s, there were very few resources for homeschool families. That is really all changed, and particularly even post-COVID, there has been just an explosion in the curriculum choices, options, supports, and organizations that come alongside of homeschool families so that children who are being homeschooled are receiving not just a quality education, but I would argue the best education in the world by their own parents in conjunction with the supports and programs that their parents get for these homeschool children.
So in the present day in New Jersey with homeschooling as it is structured, a parent can't, without consequences, teach things like Holocaust denial or that slavery was good for the black population or any conspiratorial theory, for example.
Well, that is a great question. And so here is a little bit of the nuance. In our country's legal system, there is the First Amendment, as you know. So when you are talking on the radio, when we're having this conversation on the radio, we do not seek permission from the government of what we're going to say. We don't have prior restraints. However, as you know, someone who's on the FCC broadcast spectrum, if you were to do something that would be breaking the law, inciting violence, inciting an insurrection, for example, then the government could come after you and punish you after the fact for violating the laws of our country. And the same sort of thing applies when it comes to parents, what they're teaching their children, whether or not they are homeschoolers. You know, if children are in the public school, but then afterwards they're being taught to be terrorists or to overthrow the government or to commit violence by their parents, again, whether their children are in a public school, a private school, or a homeschool, then there are laws to stop that. Having said that, you know, there are some horrific things that you and I would disagree with, which the courts have ruled are protected speech, and that's kind of the tension in our First Amendment, that we want to be able to make sure that we're not having evil being taught, but we also don't want the government to become so powerful that it could limit the First Amendment rights of TV people, of broadcast, of the radio, and that is a tension that is still in our legal system today.
So Will Estrada, who is senior counsel with the Homeschool Legal Defense Association, hslda.org, is their website, and you are listening to Issues and Ideas. So establishing all those facts for the listener, let's look at the two pieces of legislation that are making their way through the State House in Trenton. Assembly Bill 5825. Won't read the whole language here, obviously, because political ease is just numbing to most people's ears, but by and large, this is a requirement for notification as well as an expansion of the mandates of required lesson plans. Is that pretty much a good summation?
Well, that is, but very interestingly enough, Assembly Bill 5825 does something far beyond just annual notification. Of course, as our listeners know, there are many states, Pennsylvania, New York, for example, are some where you do have to annually notify the district. But there is not a single state in the nation that requires a homeschool program to align with the public schools educational system. And that is what Assembly Bill 5825 would do. Not only would you have to notify the district, you would have to be aligned to what they're teaching. So that would mean if, regardless of where you are, if you're a religious family, you would need to teach exactly what the public schools are teaching in the same sort of way. This would be bad for children who learn differently, children with special needs. Many times parents pull them out of the public schools because their kids are not receiving the sort of individualized education that they need. It's a one-size-fits-all approach. But it would also be very detrimental to families of faith, religious families, who may disagree with some of the ways that public schools are teaching children. They might have been in the public school. They might have not liked what their kids were learning, and so they said, well, homeschool them. They would suddenly lose the freedom to do so, which, interestingly enough, also raises First Amendment issues, parental rights issues. So, you know, Assembly Bill 5825 is a terrible bill, but it's potentially also an unconstitutional bill.
How about in regards to, let's look at the topic of climate change, for example. What if a parent put the full spectrum in front of the child? Here's what the proponents of climate change are saying. Here's some of the facts and figures they're using. Here's what the other side is saying. Here's what the fence sitters are saying. Would that be an objectionable way to approach that topic if it's being insisted upon by the school district?
Well, let's first back up a little bit. When I was being homeschooled, my parents used public school textbooks from the 1970s. And as many of our listeners will remember, in the 1970s, the quote-unquote established science of the day was that the world would run out of fossil fuels by the year 2000 or earlier, and that we were headed towards an ice age. And I remember that being in our public school science textbooks from the 1970s that we were using. Science has now shown that that's not the case. And as we know, that was 25 years ago, and we still have not run out of fossil fuels. We're not headed towards an ice age. But today, the established quote-unquote science is that we're headed towards global warming, and it's kind of the opposite of what those textbooks from the 70s were having. And so I think before we talk about the specifics, that's an important reminder that science is growing and changing. We need to have a curious mind and curiosity, and we can't just say, oh, this is the one way of doing it, and there's no other room for doubt. That's not the scientific process. And so we would be strongly opposed of the public school or even the government saying there is only one way to teach a subject, an example, climate change, some families are going to use the modern established science. Other families are going to say that there are doubts about this, and we would strongly oppose, as Assembly Bill 5845 or 5825 does, any government mandate of there is only one way to teach science, one way to teach climate change, or one way to teach really any other subject.
And the tandem bill is A5796, which sounds reactionary in a way, and I'll get to that in a moment. It requires homeschooling families to annually meet with a public school official for, quote-unquote, a basic child welfare check. And I'm assuming this has come to the attention of the bill's sponsor, who is Assemblyman Cody Miller, Democrat from Turnersville, because most recently in Gloucester Township, there was a couple who were abusing their daughter under the guise of having her home for homeschooling. And you go through the years, going back to the early 2000s, there have been cases in New Jersey where kids were being, quote-unquote, homeschooled, but in fact being forced to live in a cage in various abusive situations. There's an organization, Coalition for Responsible Home Education. They say they've documented over 500 cases of homeschooling claims, which are actually situations of abuse. So with those cases as fact, isn't this a good precaution to take? Because, well, not every parent's a healthy parent.
The first thing to always keep in mind is abuse is a crime, and it is a terrible crime, and people who abuse their children or the children that they are caring for should be punished to the fullest extent of the law. We all agree with that. And there are strong laws to punish people who abuse children. The difficulty is, in the examples that you've cited, and in almost every example cited by the Coalition for Responsible Home Education, it's the list is called Homeschooling's Invisible Children, if people want to dig in and look at it more. Almost all of those instances are ones where the abuser was known to the State Child Protective Service Agency, and they either dropped the ball or failed to step in. So instead of it being a weakness of homeschooling, it is a well-established problem that we have with the bureaucracy that is Child Protective Services in all 50 states. It's what happened in New Jersey, and it's what happened in many of these other states. Now, just turning real quickly to those 500 alleged instances of abuse and neglect in homeschool settings, the CRHE list is rife with errors. In addition to many of them being actually failures of CPS, many of them are also completely mistaken. For example, they have Elizabeth Smart. Remember, she was the Church of Jesus Christ Latter-day Saints teenager who was kidnapped from her family's home in Utah. Tragically, thankfully, she was recovered but went through severe trauma and abuse. They have that listed as a homeschool abuse case. I'm not sure how they get to that. She was in a public school, but they have that listed under a homeschool abuse. And that's just kind of the tip of the iceberg that's been well documented by investigative journalists and others about the failures of this supposed database. The problem is, however, some legislators have latched onto it, like in the bill that you're mentioning, Assembly Bill 5796, and they're using this as a justification to have, as this bill does, homeschool students alone, no other child, to come before a public school official at least once a year for a, quote, health and wellness check. The interesting and tragic thing is that the science shows us, the statistics show us, that almost all instances of abuse and neglect in our country happen to children below the age of compulsory attendance. These are children below the age of 3. And then it kind of falls off. There are, of course, horrific cases of older children, but the vast majority of abuse and neglect cases are of children under the age of 3, so certainly below the age of compulsory attendance. If we truly cared about stopping abuse and neglect, first we would reform the state child protective service agencies, but I wonder why they're not saying all parents, before their children are in public school, need to go and have some government official check their children for health and wellness. I think this is truly a bill aimed at just homeschooling from people who oppose freedom and who don't trust families, rather than really a bill that's intended to protect vulnerable children.
If you're listening, this has been something you've been considering, contemplating, but you weren't sure if you could find your way into a proper direction for your child when it comes to homeschooling, again, the website for the Homeschool Legal Defense Association, I think, is one of the great places for you to begin, hslda.org, because along with the advocacy, like Will has expressed here, for the right for homeschooling. They offer support, guidance, materials, connections, networking. Again, it'll give you a good foundation, and then you go explore and expand from that starting point. So you're beginning for exploring homeschooling for your kid. I think the Homeschool Legal Defense Foundation is a great place to start, hslda.org. He is their senior counsel, Will Estrada. Will, thanks so much for bringing clarity to a situation that can be certainly confusing for a lot of people. Thanks for being here today.
Well, thank you so much for having me.